Myśli kiedy się wypowiedź to za wymagę, to jest kamerada i nas. I ten sercale to wtedy kontrolny jest. Ja o sobie nie wiedzę, ja nie wiem. Artystic idea, so please take courage and have enthusiasm. This is to Raylan, October 15th, 1968. Your idea of issuing a special issue concerning the Vanashram Dharma, the Gandhi's movement, is a very good idea. And actually, India's position is now degraded, it's not a medicine. They have lost their original culture, and now they are begging from outside. So actually, they have not gained by sacrificing their original culture. Of course, the superficial loss of original culture is visible only to the so-called educated person at the present moment. And have become befooled in the state of the bodily unit. Might not be forgotten. The knowledge has been taken away. So, if you try to criticize, that would be of some value because you are outside the purview of the Indian government. But do it very carefully so that you may not offend anyone. But you must speak the right thing. I shall send you some matters also. How many rascals and fools are employed in the government service? He derived Krishna because they think he was black, therefore low-born. In this way, how much they have become degraded. Jayadevan's article on Rishikesh is very nice. If he sends such article from India, it will be very much help. Regarding your constitution making, do not be very much hasty immediately. Try to do it slowly. Because your first business is to organize Dr. Gandhi. And besides that, whatever you do, first of all, send me a copy and then distribute. The Bhagavad Gita is a general encouragement to come to me about writing articles and go back to Dr. Gandhi and different ideas. This is to Raylan, October 15, 1968. The issue of Bhaktivedanta, which you have sent me, is very, very nice. And Krishna is helping me with his sincere effort. I hope you will continue this attitude and improve both the quality and writing the matter nicely. It is also gratifying that Subha has joined me, and also Bhakti Jnana has also come back to assist you. Now I think that you've got sufficient staff. And you may now require you may not require the help of a boy Chintamani in Montreal. I think that he is required there to assist Thompson Buddha. I have received one letter for him. This next one is from also the Raylan, October 17, 1960. A lot of letters are to Raylan. Raylan was the main person on that document. He was also the person who helped Srila Prabhupada get Nectar Devotion published. And Prabhupada was very much happy about that. So, for Jagan Vinder, he can write nice articles. And so, for Rishikesh, he's very nice. People will be glad to read such articles in this country. At the same time, people in India would be glad to learn that Krishna consciousness is being preached in Western countries. In this way, we have to form international society. So practically now you're in the making. So you go on drafting the constitution, but don't distribute it now. Whatever you do, you first of all show me, and the final copy will be distributed, and we shall call for a meeting, and then we shall adopt. Don't distribute immediately. Anyway, try to do it conveniently. There is no haste. Don't distribute anything without it's known to me. So far the Constitution goes, my instruction to the President is this. And a letter. So you can see how Prabhupada was very protective and very careful to make sure everything was done exactly in the right way. And that's important to understand the Krishna consciousness. Everything should be done with two consciousnesses in mind. One, two things in mind should be done when we do anything. One is to glorify the Lord, and two is to please the Vaishnavas. If we have those two ideas in mind, we're going to be devoid from this idea of personal ego. is figure out how we can do something that would be glorious for the Lord, to glorify the Lord, and that would be pleasing to the Vaishnavas and to people in general. So we should keep thinking like that. If we're motivated for any other reason, then we will not be satisfied by our activities. If we're always motivated how to glorify Krishna and how to please the Vaishnavas, please the people in general, attracting the Krishna consciousness, and then that type of consciousness is only going to Krishna consciousness. Okay, so stop there. So what we're beginning tomorrow is one more letter on this page, number 11, so begin there. Any comments, yes? Oh my God.
I have my ornament now. Any comments, questions? Dr. Godhead, I guess. How many of you remember that? Okay, yes.
I was supposed to ask him, but I could really talk about two copies of back to back as well.
Huh?
Oh, like some of the copies of back to back.
Somebody stole five copies from Mother Tina. She's been propaganding everywhere trying to locate those five copies. Does anybody know who did it? You're smiling? Nobody knows who did it. It's a mystery. Yeah, I have some old copies of that Bhagavad, but the idea is that don't go out and simply distribute old copies of that Bhagavad. And that's not the idea. The idea is if you're going to do books, Prabhupada's books, do that. And then if there's some persons who can't afford the book, or for some reason they don't take a book, you can offer them a Back to God in magazine and ask them to give a quarter, 10 cents, just something, you know. That way they go away with something. Because many of these old issues, you know, there's a lot of things that have changed in our society radically. So we don't want to present that as the, you know, the main thing we're showing. If you had brand new Back to God ends or more contemporary ones, then we could do that. That would be fine. But the older ones can be done as a backup. You know, take one of our old issues of our magazine and maybe you can find something like that. At least they get something. But I wouldn't go out and just simply distribute back the old Back to God heads. That's not the idea. Because some of them are old. I mean, old means they go back to the late 70s, early 80s. So things have changed a lot since then. Anyway, okay, Jai Radha Madhava.
Jai Radha Madhava. Thank you.
Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sri Sukha Uvacha. Astadikam Shishyam Anadikshakaram Guruhu Shashvapa Daiva Prahita Satya Sadhyam Manaswinam Sri Sukha Uvacha Evam Astaditam Shishyam Anadikshakaram Guruhu Shashvapa Daiva Prahita Satyam Sadhyam Manashvinam Sri Sukha Uvacha Evam Astaditam Shishyam Anadikshakaram Guruhu Shashvapa Daiva Prahita Satya Sadhyam Manashvinam Sri Sukha Uvacha Evam Asraditam Shishyam Anadikshakaram Guruhu Shashvapa Daiva Prahita Satyam Sadhyam Manashvinam
Anyone else? Sri Sukha Uvacha, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Evam, thus, Asraditam, who was not very respectful to the instruction of the spiritual master. Sisyam, unto such a disciple. Anadesham karam, who was not prepared to carry out the order of his spiritual master. Guruhu, the spiritual master. Sukracharya. Shashyapa, first. Daiva Prahita, being inspired by the Supreme Lord. Satya Sadhyam, one who was fixed in his truthfulness. Manashvinam, who was of a highly elevated character. Translation and verb form by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, thereafter, the spiritual master, Sukaracharya, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, cursed his exalted disciple, Bali Maharaj, who was so magnanimous and fixed in truthfulness that instead of respecting his spiritual master's instructions, he wanted to disobey his order. Purport. The difference between the behavior of Bali Maharaj and that of his spiritual master, Sukracharya, was that Bali Maharaj was already developed in love of God, whereas Sukracharya, being merely a priest of routine rituals, had not. Thus, Sukracharya was never inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to develop devotional service. As stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham sattva yuktanam majitam vritti purvakam dadami bhuta yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. So who knows that verse? What's the translation of that verse? Yes. Krishna explains to those who are constantly devoted, you're right, and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Devotees who actually engage in devotional service with faith and love are inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavas are never concerned with ritualistic smarta brahmanas. Śrīla Sanatana Goswami has therefore compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas to guide the Vaishnavas who never follow smarta vidhi. Although the Supreme Lord is situated in the core of everyone's heart, unless one is a Vaishnava, unless one is engaged in devotional service, one does not get sound advice by which to return home back to Godhead. Such instructions are meant only for devotees. Therefore, in this verse, the word Daiva Prahita, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, is important. Sukracharya should have encouraged Bali Maharaj to give everything to Lord Vishnu. This would have been a sign of love for the Supreme Lord. But he did not do so. On the contrary, he wanted to punish his devoted disciple by cursing him. Translation again. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter the spiritual master, Sukracharya, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, cursed his exalted disciple Bali Maharaj, who was so magnanimous and fixed in truthfulness that instead of respecting his spiritual master's instructions, he wanted to disobey his order. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stavkitam Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Gadati Swapakantitam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pranityana Vrishya Dvaita Gadadhar Sivasani Gaur Bhaktavindu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One can never disobey the instructions of the spiritual master and consider to be situated rightly in devotional service. In fact, that is one of the offenses against chanting of the holy names of the Lord, and one must follow very strictly the instructions of the spiritual master. One must have implicit faith, and one must have unflinching devotion to the instructions of the spiritual master. When one has that type of determination and conviction in devotional service, the Svetasvatara Upanishad explains that all the purports of all the revealed scriptures are automatically understood within the heart of a devotee who has that faith in the instructions of the spiritual master. So we understand that this principle is pretty much the essential foundation for making spiritual advancement. But here we have a completely opposite situation, that Bali Maharaj didn't follow the instructions of the spiritual master. He rejected these instructions, and he became glorious by not following. We have the exact opposite situation. How is that? Well, the bona fide spiritual master is meant to take the disciple back to Krishna, or bring him to Krishna consciousness. And if the spiritual master, actually the spiritual master has no other business. He's not there for worship. He's not there for, you know, some kind of, you know, conference or facilities for his own behalf. He's simply the representative of the Lord in order to teach the conditioned souls how to come back to him in loving devotional service. That is the position of the spiritual master. Therefore, his service is pretty much easily described. And if a spiritual master deviates from that service, in other words, if he puts something else in there, then he becomes asara. Asara means useless. That his instructions should not be followed, they should be rejected. And that is true in all cases. If the spiritual master tells you to take intoxication, have illicit sex, and engage in all kinds of activities, and says because he is the spiritual master, and therefore you must follow, no matter what he says, then we can understand that he has been fallen from the path of devotional service. Actually, this happened a few times in our ISKCON society, where spiritual leaders have actually try to engage their disciples in illicit and illegal activities in the name of obedience to the Guru. And that has caused great havoc and great calamities in the life of both the disciple and in the society at large. And therefore, such spiritual masters have fallen from the path and again become taking up material activities. So therefore, we have three things. We have Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So Guru must teach on the basis of Shastra. If he deviates from Shastra, then his instructions can be rejected. Of course, one must clearly understand that before they reject. There is cases when this happens. So here we have an interesting situation. Bali Maharaj is being approached directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for some charity. The Lord begs charity in order to engage his disciple in devotional service, and ultimately his mission was to again recapture the entire creation for the demigods. So that was the Lord's mission. So Sukaracharya, he wasn't what we could say a devotional spiritual master. He was simply what we call a seminal Brahman. He was a paid spiritual master. He was spiritual master by birth. Sometimes we find in the corrupt form of spiritual activities that people by birth consider themselves to have qualities of their family. A person is born in a Brahmin family, therefore he says, I'm a Brahmin. A person is born in the family of saints, he considers himself to be a saint. A person is born in the family of merchants, he considers himself to be a merchant. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, fought very strongly against these Śrīla Bhaktivinoda and Śrīla Bhakti Siddhanta fought very strongly against these types of persons who simply take principles of spiritual life and apply it in a materialistic way in order to just simplify or to somehow or other put their own contaminant ideas. And so we see the same thing here. Sukaracharya was worried. He was afraid. He was afraid that if Bali Maharaj gave Vamanadeva his request, then everything would be lost. And he was right. But ultimately, one cannot refuse the desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God must be obeyed in all situations. And therefore, Bali Maharaj, he understood this. And therefore, he rejected the spiritual master. And he fulfilled the request of Vamanadeva. So here, it is said that Sukaracharya, becoming angry with his disciple, he cursed him. He cursed his disciple. And it says that the curse was inspired by the Supreme Lord. This is interesting. The Lord inspired Sukaracharya to curse his disciple. Because in that condition, and then he would be freed from the obligation of his spiritual master. He would be no longer connected. And that was the idea, to break that connection and ultimately so he could bless him with his own mercy. So here is a rare occasion. Srila Prabhupada speaks about these in many purports, that one can never disobey the instructions of the spiritual master. Only if the spiritual master deviates. But one must be very, very certain that he is deviating. Therefore, it is not simply a superficial understanding. One must know clearly. This is a very interesting principle. Now, here it is also mentioned, devotees who actually engage in devotional service with faith and love are inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes materialistic people, not sometimes, but in all cases, materialistic people cannot understand the motivation of a devotee or one engaged in devotional service. And they don't understand what motivates a person to perform so many activities without getting any kind of remuneration. Devotees work without pay, sometimes undergoing so many austerities and penances and difficulties. But they are actually inspired with faith and love from the Supreme Lord. So the Lord is actually giving them direction within their heart how to engage in devotional service. This is a very important part to understand, that you don't really have to figure out how to do devotional service. It's not a real mind-twisting type of process. We simply have to have the strong desire to serve the Lord and to surrender to the Lord. If you have the strong desire to serve and surrender to the Lord from within your own heart will guide you internally and externally, through the devotees and through the process of teaching you within your own heart. Therefore, this verse, Desham Satata Yuktanam Majitam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tamyenam Mamukhyantite. And one who has devotion to the Lord, one who is worshipping the Lord with love, Krishna personally takes that person back to him. Not through his energies, as he works with the materialistic people. People in the material world are being guided by God, but they're being guided by God's energies. Not directly. There's a difference between, just like you may, be in the presence of the representative president, or you may be in the presence of the president. So there's a difference. So in the same way, and of course you're getting two different complete types of reactions. So the materialist is getting God in the form of his energies, but the Lord is directly reciprocating with a loving relationship with his devotees by guiding them gradually on the path of devotional service. If one has faith and love in the process. So that is very important to understand. Vaishnavas are never concerned simply by rituals. They want to simply please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And unless one is a devotee of the Lord, one cannot get that type of direction from the Lord. So Krishna says, for my devotee, I carry what they lack, and I preserve what they have. I guide them personally back to my lotus feet. So there's a very deep, loving relationship between Krishna and his devotee. It's very deep, because we have an eternal relationship with God. And that relationship is played out very strongly in our devotional service. And Krishna personally reciprocates. There have been many examples where the form of the Lord, the deity, has spoken to his disciple, has accepted food from his disciple, has on occasions even traveled in the form of a deity to please his disciple. It's the case of the story of Sakshi Gopal. You all know that story of Sakshi Gopal? Sakshi means the witness, and Gopal was a deity in Vrindavan. The story is that two men, one older man, one younger man, both from Brahminical families. One was an older man, and he was very rich. And one was younger, he was very poor. And they traveled together from their village in Vidyanagar to Vrindavan to see the Lord in Vrindavan. Because it's very much the custom to make pilgrimage to go to Vrindavan. So the old man was quite dependent on the young man because he was old and he required as much help as he could. So the young man did everything he could. He would take care of him, he would sometimes would cook for him, he would carry his bags. He served the old man very nicely. And when they got to Vrindavan, the old man was so happy. They were from the same village in Vidyanagar. He was so happy that he said, I want to give you some gift. You served me very nicely and I'm very pleased. I would like to give you some. The young man said, no, that's okay. I'm simply happy by offering this service to you. He said, no, I will give you a gift, whatever you like. In fact, I know, I will give you my daughter in marriage. So, and as those days the father arranged for the daughter to get married. Still in India, that is the custom. That the daughter puts herself under the protection of her father, and the father finds a suitable husband for the daughter. Nowadays, people just run around looking for mates, and it's very risky like that. Because if one is attracted simply by physical attraction, then one may find themselves in a very difficult situation. Because physical attraction wears off. When people get married simply by some physical attraction, some enamorations, or something. Sometimes they get married because they have to get married. This is the way it is. But in Vedic society, the girl was protected by the parents, and the parents would arrange a very suitable match according to similar qualities and economic status. So there was an economic difference in the status. The oldest man was from a rich family, and the younger Brahmin was from a poor family. So he said to the older man, you cannot give your daughter in marriage to me. What will your family members say? They will completely reject this whole idea. They will become angry. He said, no, I am the head of my family, and whatever I want to do, they must follow. So I want to give you my daughter in marriage. So the young man, he was a little concerned. He said, okay, if you want to do that, then we must go before the deity of Gopal. And we'll make this vow in front of the deity. Because in those days, even today, if people make some kind of business agreement, sometimes they go before the deity. I agree to sell you this for this price. And so that's the contract. Nowadays they have, here you have about, 200 tons of papers, sign on every line, and
all kinds of illegal. But in culture, Vedic culture, sometimes if there was some agreement needed to be made, they would go to the temple and they would make the agreement before the Lord. No one would break that agreement, because to do that and break that before the Lord was considered to be a great offense, and one would suffer tremendously. So he said, okay, if you want to give your daughter in marriage to me, then we should do this before the deity. So the old man said, I vow to give this young man my daughter in marriage. And the young Brahmin said, my dear Gopal, you have been the witness to this agreement. So they left. And then after some time, they traveled back to their home in Vijayanagar. And they went back to their respective homes. So after some time, the young man was thinking, this old man, he has agreed to give me his daughter in marriage. Not that I really want to marry his daughter, but he's made this vow in front of the deity. And for him to break that vow, that will really cost him his devotional life. So he was more concerned about the devotional life of this old man. So he went to the old man's home. And he said, you remember? You had made this vow? And he said, oh yes, yes, actually I do remember. And then he went and told his family members. And his wife, when she heard that the father was going to give their daughter in marriage to this poor Brahmin, because the idea is, even if you're from a rich family, if you're a girl, if you're from a rich family, if you take shelter of a man, he must support you. In other words, you have to live under him. You cannot, you know, live from your father's wealth anymore. You have to live according to how you marry into that situation. So they were saying, my daughter marry this man. The wife was so upset. She said, if you give our daughter in marriage to him, I will commit suicide. And there was a son in the family. He said, Father, what are you doing? He said, well, I promised this man. He said, you cannot give my sister. It's not good enough for our sister. Actually, so they were both against the father giving the daughter. So he didn't know what to do. He had made the promise, now the family members were upset. So the man left and he said, I'll come back after some time and you try to work it out. So the brother, the sister, the brother of the sister, the brother, the daughter of the man, the son, he said, don't worry. I'll take care of the home matter. When he comes to claim our daughter, I'll just say, you rascal, I'll take a stick and I'll chase him away. And you'll just say, you don't remember making this vow. And then I'll handle everything. So when the man came back to claim the daughter, the father said, I'm sorry, but I don't remember making that vow. So then the son came out. He was a smarter Brahmin. He was not a devotee. And he said, you rascal, you're simply after my daughter. Get out of here. And you just said, you gave my father some datura, some thing to make him, sleepy? It wasn't poison, was it? Poison? Yeah, he called it. And therefore, you robbed him from all his money. Now you want to take my sister? So he took a stick and he started to chase this young Brahmin out of the house, and the boy ran. So he was concerned. Now they're not fulfilling their vow. So he was thinking, it's not so much that I want the daughter, but this man, he's a devotee, and if he doesn't live up to his promise, his devotional life will be finished. So he went and he called all the townspeople together, and he said, this man has made a vow. He has promised his daughter marriage to me, so you should intervene. So they called the old man. They all, the family came, and he said the same thing. I don't remember making this promise. And then, the brother was there with the stick. He's a rascal. He's just trying to get my sister.
So it was going back and forth like that. So the Brahmin said, all right, I have an idea. I'll go to Vrindavan and ask Gopal to be the witness so you'll all understand the actual truth. I'll bring the deity here and he will testify on what is the actual truth. So the brother was thinking, a deity coming here, he's just in stone. And therefore he wasn't worried at all. So all the townspeople agreed, yes, this is a good idea. If you can bring the Lord here to testify, then we will accept whatever the Lord says. So he walked all the way back to Vrindavan from Vidyanagara, which was a very long journey. He came into the temple. He offers his obeisances to Lord Gopal. And he said to the deity, he said, my dear Gopal, your devotee, he has reneged on his promise, so I need you to come and bear witness to the actual truth. Please come to Vidyanagara. So the deity actually started to talk to him. He said, I'm a deity. I'm a stone deity. I can't walk. So the Brahmin boy said, but Gopal, if you can talk, you can walk. So Srila Prabhupada, narrating this story, he says, Krishna was defeated by the love of his devotee. So Gopal, the deity, the Supreme Lord in the form of the deity, said, okay, I'll come, but there's some conditions. That you walk ahead of me and you don't look back. If you look back, I'll stop wherever you look back. But you'll know that I'm behind you by the tinkling of my ankle bells. And every day you cook for me 1 kilo of rice for my offering. So the agreement was made, and the young Brahmin started to walk, and Gopal was walking behind him. He could hear the tinkling of the ankle bells of Lord Gopal. So finally they were getting near the village of Vidyanagar, and at one point, he stopped hearing the sound of the ankle bells of Lord Gopal. So then he turned around. And when he turned around, there was Lord Gopal standing there. And he said to his sister, call the townspeople. So that was right on the outskirts of the village. So all the townspeople came. And the Lord, in his form of a deity, Gopal, was standing there. And everybody understood, yes, the young Brahmin was actually telling the truth. And so that deity bear witness. So that deity today is known as Shakshi Gopal, the deity who bear witness to the promise of the old Brahmin. It's a wonderful story. That deity is still there in one area near Orissa, somewhere near Jagannath Puri. I don't remember the town that's there. Unfortunately, it's the temple that the deity is in is taken care of by many caste Brahmins. So unless you're born in India, you can't go into that deity to see that deity. If you have an Indian body, then you're lucky. You can take darshan. Same with Lord Jagannath's temple. If you are born in India, actually not only in India, but you have to be from a certain caste too. Just like Indira Gandhi, she wanted to go in to see Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, but the priests wouldn't let her in. She was like the prime minister of the country of India, they wouldn't let her in. She had married a Parsi, someone outside of her caste, and therefore she was rejected. So it's very, this pretty strict Brahminical caste system is still there in India in certain places. Prabhupada never liked it, but he respected it. He said we should follow it, but we don't agree with it at all, of course. We don't want to cause any trouble. But here, the example, this story is very nice. That Krishna reciprocates with the love of his devotee. Krishna talks, Krishna walks, Krishna eats. And Krishna's there. So we should always remember that if we have that faith, if we have that devotion in our devotional service, Krishna will personally reciprocate with that devotee in loving devotional service. It's not a ritual. It's not something, some mechanic.
Krishna is there. He's there in his holy name. He's there in the form of his deity. He's even there in prasadam. Prasadam. Krishna is non-different than prasadam. So when we're taking prasadam, we should know that we're actually associating with Krishna through the form of taste. When Srila Prabhupada would be sitting in his room, maybe speaking to some guests or others, well, they would bring prasadam and Prabhupada would stop. He would immediately turn his attention to the prasadam, because Krishna has come in the room in the form of prasadam. This is the absolute nature of the Supreme Lord. So that consciousness, that we understand that Krishna is very much part of our every second, our existence, but we have to wake up. Jijago, jijago, gora chanda bole, kota nidra jayo maya, pischa china koi. That you're sleeping on the lap of the witch Maya, and Maya is devouring your every second of your life by taking away your consciousness and devoting your consciousness to everything else. So to become Krishna consciousness means we devote our consciousness to Krishna as much as possible. So that is the success. And when Krishna sees that, and then the Dami Bhuti Yogam Tamhina Manu Piyatite, from within the heart, he gives directions how one can come back to him in transcendental loving service. There's a very, very, very intimate, sweet, loving relationship between God and his devotee. But we have to want that relationship more than anything. Bali Maharaj wanted that. He was willing to sacrifice everything simply to please the Lord. And because of that, Bali Maharaj is considered to be a Mahajan. Narada, what is that first? Swayambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kukumara, Kapila, Mano, Janak, Kalad, Janaka, Vishma, Vali, Yastaki, Mayam. Yamaraj is speaking, and he's explaining there are 12 Mahajans, including himself. And one is Mahajan is Mahajano Yenikatasa Panda. And that the Mahajans, they are propagators of religious principles. They can teach the path of devotional service. So Bali Maharaj is so glorious that he can teach religious principles. He has come from a family of demons. He was against God. He was against the demigods. And yet, by the grace of the Lord, by his surrender to the Lord, he became glorious. So we see just how powerful this process of Krishna consciousness is. Bali Maharaj became so glorious that the Supreme Lord, in his own personal form as Varmadeva, has agreed to become his personal servant. Bali was given a planet called Sutala, one of these subterranean heavenly planets. And the Lord personally lives there as Bali's doorkeeper. If you were to go to the planet of Sutala today, if you could go, you would see the Lord there in his form as Vamadeva serving Bali. So we can see how much the Krishna is inclined to his devotee and how much the devotee is inclined to Krishna. What is that verse? Saranam vidayam mayam, saranam vidayam kata. Na te jina jina nanti teshu aham managapi. I am in the hearts of my devotees, and my devotees are in my heart. I know no one but my pure devotees, and my pure devotees know no one but me. There's a very deep, wonderful, loving relationship between Krishna and devotee. Very deep. And that relationship is the most satisfying of all relationships. We're trying to find satisfaction in relationships in this world. But these relationships in this world are never satisfying. Even the best relationship in this world is fraught with so many problems. Everybody has problems on all levels, because that is the nature of this world. There's no perfect situation. There's no perfect situation. People write novels, and they sing songs, and they romanticize about the perfect relationship. But it's just a dream, because all their romanticism and all their aspirations are really meant for God, and they just diverted it as something in this world. And so, it's just funny. I was at the New Jersey Rathiatra,
And I was in the questions and answers booth. We have a booth where you sit there and people come and they ask questions and you answer. So one man, he's just one guest from the outside, comes sitting down. He sits down and I said, "Yes, what is your question?" He said, "I can't keep any girlfriends." He says, I don't know what my problem is. I can't keep a girlfriend." So I was thinking how to answer this question. So I was saying, you know, if you really want to have a relationship that is satisfying and lasting, why don't you have a relationship with God? Don't worry about these girlfriends. So that was my answer anyway. So he listened to the whole talk and didn't say anything. He got up, he thanked me, and then left. Anyway, he seemed to be very submissive to that. So I was explaining that whatever relationship you have in this material world, there's always problems on every level. So, but a relationship with Krishna is wonderful. It's perfect and it's natural. So here we see that the devotee cannot think of anything but the Lord, and the Lord cannot think of anything but the devotee. Okay, so I'll stop there. Any comments or questions? Yes. Sean?
Yes, at the beginning of our talk, you were talking about ideas and things that should be rejected. I don't know, this may not be directly something we can speak to now, but there is a controversy about whether or not Srila Prabhupada or anybody in the succession can be worshipped. I can't remember what it's called, but it's something about where the next you are initiated, you can't worship. I forgot what it's called. There's a certain school of thought where it says different gurus feel this is the way in which someone can be associated with Srila Prabhupada, only through a disciple. And other people say, well, you can't be associated with Srila Prabhupada, just to worship. Finally, that's what I would actually speak to. Because I really don't understand what the controversy is. And I just feel, first of all, that if somebody doesn't know Srila Prabhupada and they're beyond the place where they get to make some temple, if they actually study his book, they can associate with him that way.
Right. Exactly. But
I guess that's the thing I'm trying to ask you
about. Well, we should not mix up the formal with the actual devotional. Srila Prabhupada has a relationship with all living entities if they want that relationship. And Srila Prabhupada, someone Prabhupada said one time, everyone is my disciple. Some know it and some don't. But there's two relationships. There's one formal initiation, and then there's relationship by instructions and guidance. Anyone who comes into ISKCON has a very intimate relationship with Srila Prabhupada. But some are his disciples directly with initiation, and some are his disciples of his disciples. But in the same sense, there's no difference in that relationship. So, in one way, there's a formal difference, that's all. And devotionally, I mean, Prabhupada has appeared to people in dreams who have never even come in contact with devotees. And there's stories about that, how Prabhupada actually appeared in some people's dreams and, you know, brought them to Krishna consciousness that way. Prabhupada has a relationship with everyone. If they want it, he's available. Okay? Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
If the disciple doesn't, say, make it to Krishna local, does the spiritual master have to come back and do the...
Did everybody hear the question?
No.
The question was, if the disciple does not make it back home, back to Godhead, does the spiritual master have to come back? Srila Prabhupada spoke on this. He says that there is a contract that the disciple agrees to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and the spiritual master agrees to take him back home, back to Godhead. So that contract is there. Now, if the disciple breaks the contract and doesn't follow, then the spiritual master is not obliged. But if he follows, and somehow he becomes fallen, and then the spiritual master will do whatever he can to bring that soul back to Krishna.
And we have an example of Dobro Mangala Thakur. Dobro Mangala Thakur was a great devotee in his one life. In the next life, he got involved with a prostitute. And he was always chasing after a prostitute. One time he came to a prostitute's house in the dead of night under very horrible conditions. It was raining, a big storm, and the doors were locked. And he risked his life to see the prostitute. So the prostitute, when she saw him, her name was Chintamani, she spoke. She said, if you had as much attachment for this bag of skin and bones, referring to her body, as you did for Krishna, then your life would be successful. She kind of like chastised him. But actually, it's explained that actually it was the voice of his previous spiritual master, Somagiri, who was speaking through that prostitute to instruct his disciple. So we see that the spiritual master will use or do anything possible to reclaim his disciple, as long as the disciple remains faithful. Even if he's fallen, if he's still faithful or tries his best, the Prabhupada said, try to come back in this life. Don't give your spiritual master trouble to come and get you again. That was his response. But that is the actual agreement, because it's a loving agreement. That's why the spiritual master comes. He comes in the material world to claim conditioned souls. It's a burden of love. Okay? Any other questions, comments? Okay. Thank you very much for your attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.
Instructions from the letters of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Continuation. This is to, again, to Ray Ram. He's the main person on the Back to Godhead. This is called Back to Godhead, writing, editing, layout, and contents. Regarding propaganda against animal slaughter in Back to Godhead, please do not print any pictures showing how a cow is being murdered in our Back to Godhead. This will pollute the whole atmosphere. We are not meant for moving anyone's sentiments against animal slaughter. We are neither Buddhists or Jains whose main propaganda is against animal slaughter. Even the so-called vegetarians who do not take Krishna prasadam are as much sinful as the non-vegetarians. Our propaganda is different to make people Krishna conscious, which automatically makes them sympathetic against any kind of animal slaughter. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, one living entity subsists on the life of other living entities, either vegetarian or non-vegetarian. But we are neither of them. We are not vegetarian nor non-vegetarian. We are transcendental. We are concerned with Krishna prasadam. Try to popularize Krishna prasadam as you have already done. People will naturally become vegetarian without any ghastly propaganda. The pictures of Mahajans or similar pictures for propagating the Bhagavad conclusion should be our objective. Other pictures, there are so many subject matters, just like we follow four principles. Say, for example, illicit sex life. We can publish so many pictures of illicit sex, but that will not advance our cause. Similarly, we may make propaganda against animal slaughter, but that will not advance our real cause. Krishna consciousness is based on pure understanding, not by any sentimental provocation. People must be intelligent enough to catch up this Krishna conscious movement without being carried away by any sentimental wave. We should always remember that we do not belong to any group like the Karmis, Gyanis, or Yogis. We belong to a pure devotional service group following the footsteps of the great Mahajans. Our purpose should be that we are on one side in all... I'm sorry. Our purpose should be that we are on one side and all others, they are on the other side. We deprecate everyone, even one who is against animal slaughter. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is clearly said that there are two classes of activities, pious and impious. We do not favor any one of them. Neither we favor any philosophical speculation. We simply stick to Krishna and wish to render transcendental loving service to Him. That should be their main objective, and the policy of Back to Godhead magazine must be pursued on this line of action. I hope you will understand me rightly. Everyone who is not a Krishna conscious person is a butcher. Even the so-called pious man who is not in Krishna consciousness, he is also a butcher, because he is killing his own self. So, in our own view, everyone is a butcher and everyone is a thief also because he is enjoying Krishna's property. So how we can discriminate who is honest and who is dishonest, and who is butcher and who is not butcher? Our only test is how one is taking to Krishna conscious. Even a so-called butcher comes, we welcome him to chant Hare Krishna. So that was to Ray Ram, November 19, 1968. This is to Brahmananda. November 20th, 1968. Find out whether Umapati can translate Back to Godhead into French language. He knows the French language, or any other boy or girl who can help in translating Back to Godhead into French. This is to Nayanaviram, November 23rd, 1968. Regarding your article in Back to Godhead about Ayurvedic medicine, I do not think this is a very worthwhile endeavor. You have shown nice ability for writing, so it will be more appreciated if you continue to study Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and express the same by your assimilation. We have enough Krishna conscious matters to discuss, so there is no need to waste time with such topics as Ayurvedic medicine. The point is that we're not deprecating Ayurvedic medicine, it's just that Krishna consciousness is so important that there are so many topics that one can focus on, and that there's not even enough room in the magazine, so why not focus on the essentials? This is to Hamsa Duda, the 12th of December, 1968. You have expressed some new ideas to improve Back to Godhead of the English language, but I think there's no need to interrupt their way of thinking. Now you have a chance for your own addition, so do it nicely and according to your own ideas. You are an artist, so you have facilities to make a very nice addition to sell to the French public. Since in Montreal 75% of the populace are speaking French, I think you have a very good chance to popularize and improve this magazine. The next one is to Jadarani. The 13th of December, 1968. I've just received a copy of Back to Godhead number 21, and can please convey my appreciation to Satsarup for his excellent article of Lord Ramachandra. Such articles give enjoyment and spiritual benefit to all readers, and he should do more of such writing as he is able. So here we see Prabhupada is now approving of articles that glorify the Supreme Lord. This is to Satsarup, 31st of December, 1968. Regarding the article suggested by Ray Ram, you are correct in your doubts that Radhakrishna Lila should not be discussed in Back to Godhead. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many philosophical discussions, and we should concentrate on these philosophical aspects. Otherwise, the less intelligent will surely understand Radhakrishna Lila as simply nonsense boy and girl sex life. Hanuman, Prashad, Podar, and company are all mundane types, and they have no entrance into actual spiritual activities. Superficially, they pose themselves as great devotees, but we can feel their pulse. Ultimately, they are impersonalists. We should not depend upon writings from such unauthorized sources. Strictly, we should avoid publishing these confidential topics in Bhaktivedanta magazine. This is dangerous for the conditioned soul. Although such Krishna Lila can do some good to the mundane people, in the long run, to understand the philosophical aspects of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning, it is essential and will make a good stride in spiritual life. I do not know why Ray Ram has asked you to send such article. It is not my sanction. We shall be very careful about mundane sex life. That is the pivot center of conditioned life. You are intelligent, and I hope that Krishna will help you in these matters. So this is the last letter of the year of 68. This is to Hamsa Duda. I'm sorry, it's to Hamburg, Germany center, no name. I have seen your poetry and it's very nice. Try to write more and have it published. If you like, I can send you more topics to write poetries about and to versify the German language. Try to translate articles for a German edition of Back to Godhead, which you can arrange to print in Hamburg, as they are printing a French edition from our Montreal center. End of letter. Okay. Any questions, comments? Back to Godhead magazine. How many here read Back to Godhead regularly? Three. The library has a subscription, which it gets the regular, so when it comes in, you can ask them if you could read it. Or you can get a subscription yourself. It's actually quite inexpensive. It's only like $11 for devotees, I think, for 1 year. And you get full magazine. The latest one I was reading last night is, they had a beautiful account of the preaching in Poland, about 8 pages, pictures of the preaching that Indrajumna Maharaj is doing in Poland. There's so many other nice articles. There's always something about some holy place in India, some commentary on things going on, articles on different aspects of Krishna consciousness. Back to God, it's nice. It's very interesting. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20, text number 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Dridham Pandita Manya Janna. Stavdo Shyamas Mar av upekshaya, matcha sannati goyasvam, achira grasya sesh she shriyaha, dirham van. Sorry, who knows the meter for this? You know the meter? There's 2 meters. The one I'm doing, and there's another one that's a lot nicer. The tune. Anybody know? That's it. That's it. Dridham pandita manhya gyaha.
Dridham pandita manhya gyaha.
Stablo yasman upeksaya. Macha sanghati goyastvam. Achira brasya se shriyaha. Dridham pandita manhya gyaha. Stando yasman upeksaya. Machcha sannati goyastvam. Achira brasya se shriyaha. Dridham pandita manhya gyaha. Stablo yasmar upeksaya. Matscha sannati goyastvam. Achira brasya se shriyaha.
Dridham pandita manhya gyaha.
So firmly convinced or fixed in your decision. Pandita Mani. Considering yourself very learned. Ajna. At the same time foolish. Stavda. Impudent. Asi. You have become. Asmat. Of us. Upeksaya, by disregarding. Mat shashana atigaha, surpassing the jurisdiction of my administration. Yeah, such a person as you. Tvam, yourself. Achirat, very soon. Brasyase, will fall down. Sriyaha, from all opulence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although you have no knowledge, you have become a so-called learned person, and therefore you dare to be so impudent as to disobey my order. Because of disobeying me, you shall very soon be bereft of all your opulence. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Bali Maharaj was not Pandita Mani, or one who falsely assumes himself learned. Rather, he was Pandita Manyagya, one who was so learned that all other learned persons worship him. And because he was so learned, he could disobey the order of his so-called spiritual master. He had no fear of any condition of material existence. Anyone cared for by Lord Vishnu does not need to care about anyone else. Thus, Bali Maharaj could never be bereft of all opulences. The opulences offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not to be compared to the opulences obtained by Karmakanda. In other words, if a devotee becomes very opulent, it is to be understood that his opulence is a gift of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such opulence will never be vanquished, whereas the opulence achieved by one's fruit of activity may be vanquished at any moment. Om Agyanitim Vidandasya Yanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmavitam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Svam Padatikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dhyananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaur Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is a wonderful story. This story of Bali Maharaj and the Lord Ramanadev begging charity from Bali. Haribol, no sleeping. If you feel tired, please stand up.